And it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. I think I have a video, so I'll be quiet for a second. Sorry. Maybe. Let's skip the video. All right. So, the... that's just the little tagline there. So, anyway... what would it be, a church at Liberty Baptist without technical problems, right? So, anyway, we're just thankful to be in his house today. It's good to be amongst fellow believers in Jesus Christ on this Advent Sunday. And we're in the middle of a series that I'm preaching about the promise. And we've been discovering the many promises that God has fulfilled through the birth of Jesus Christ using these themes of Advent. And so... this Christmas season, as we celebrate all that is available to us through Jesus, we've looked at the theme of hope, we've looked at the theme of peace, and today is joy, next week will be love. And so the first week we discovered that God's promised hope came in the form of a person, and Jesus meets our deepest longings and is the hope for our present and also for our future. The second week, last week, we looked at the promise of peace that was given to the lowly shepherds, and that there would be a new government that would come and it would bring peace to the world. And today we're looking at the third theme of Advent, which is joy. Now, I don't know about you, but Christmas is always, usually, an enjoyable time of year for many different reasons. First of all, in my childhood, that was when all the family would come together. Everybody would gather. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, those were, you know, the main holidays. Everybody would come to the house. As a kid, I enjoyed also because usually that meant that I was going to get some presents, right? And I think that's, as a child, that's one of the things that you see. But as I got older, I enjoyed and looked forward to my cousins coming to visit, my aunt, seeing my mom and my grandmother happy, and we'd get to go visit both sides of the family and all those sorts of things. So it was always fun. It was gathering. It was a time to celebrate. There was a lot of Christmas food, right, and cookies. Greta and I spent yesterday baking, and after we had our meltdown for the first 30 minutes as we tried to get through the different manners of baking, right? Now, this is weird because I'm usually the more orderly person that has to have everything with checkoff lists and everything like that. I just dove in and started doing stuff, and she's there telling me to stop so that she can come up with a plan. That just doesn't sound like my wife, but that's what happened yesterday. But we had a good day. It ended up being a good day, so we had a good time. And but we're going to have some good desserts to share with you next week and on Saturday, and so we're looking forward to that. I also like the Christmas lights and the festivities. One of the things that we... usually try to do is go drive around and see the different Christmas lights. Ogilvie State Park, which is one of the larger light displays, I think, in the country. In West Virginia, Wheeling, West Virginia, we used to drive up there every couple of years. And so we usually get to see Christmas lights, and we get to do all those things. But there's joy in seeing those things. The other thing that I enjoy doing is giving gifts. I enjoy giving people gifts and watching them become happy as they open those up. Now, that doesn't really fit well with the other part, because to get the gifts, you usually have to go shopping, right? And I'm not a big shopper. I shared that with you last week. But Amazon is my friend. And so Amazon, they will wrap those gifts for you. They'll put the label on it. It'll just come right in a box. You just pull it right out, throw it under the tree. But the other problem I have is that it's hard for me to wait till Christmas morning to watch people open the presents. When they come, I'm ready to see the joy, right? I'm ready to see that happiness come. And so there has to be a little bit of patience and not letting them open their gifts too early. But people receive joy from this Christmas season, and it's hard to keep that joy to yourself. You want to share it. You want to be able to bring that joy to someone else. And so when we find joy in something, it's hard to hide it. The things that bring you joy are the things that you want to share with the world. They're the things that we try to expose the most, that we try to endure in the most. And so it's no wonder then that we find that in Scripture, God is eager to share the joy of Christ's birth, even before it was time for him to arrive. The Old Testament has all kinds of prophecy about Jesus, because God is excited to share with the world the joy that is going to be Jesus Christ even before he comes. And so we see this incarnation, we see Jesus' birth and God coming to the earth as a human being. It's the greatest gift that has ever been given. And we can sense God's excitement for the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that would come through his arrival. The book of Isaiah speaks to this coming gift. There is a prophetic word given about someone who would come to prepare the world for the arrival of Jesus. And this passage was written hundreds of years before its fulfillment, and it's one of God's joyful promises about the future. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God promises that there will be a time of preparation before Christ's birth. And there will be a straightening and a leveling that will take place, ensuring that the glory of God in Jesus would be made available to all people. When I read these verses, I can see the joy that God has to share with the world that was once broken by sin will be brought to light and made right. The truth is that preparation is the key to fully enjoying any great event. Every year, the day after Thanksgiving, I know that I can expect my wife to give me the instruction to locate all of the Christmas and the Christmas mini containers of Christmas decorations. They are neatly piled out in the building to where I have to go out and get them and bring them in, and she has them in order. The Christmas ornaments now, she's really gotten dedicated to that. We had to buy special boxes that have dividers in them. This is my wife. And she could put military leaders to shame with the planning and the execution of the decorating that takes place, the steps that we have to go through. She knows exactly where every ornament will go, and she knows exactly which mantles will be covered, and all of the different things will be lit up. And then usually it's accompanied with hot chocolate or some kind of treats. But the point is that it's intentional. That is, it's something that is calculated. And the reason that she counts these down, she looks forward to the days when these festivities will begin, is because she loves preparing the way for our family to celebrate Jesus. People should prepare and need to prepare to welcome Jesus into the world. The promise in the Old Testament is that the people of God will see this preparation take place. God does not want them to miss what he is doing, because it is the signpost for what is to come. In other words, they need to see what God has done here to prepare the way. Any barriers that are in the way to experiencing the joy of the miraculous birth will be removed. There is no desert, no mountain, no valley, no rugged place that will stand in the way of the revelation of Christ. And so we come across a character in the New Testament named Zechariah. And he is a priest. He's a priest who serves in the temple of God. And we find him in the temple burning incense and worship while people are praying outside. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and of disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." While he was serving the temple, an angel of the Lord was speaking to him, and he was startled and gripped with fear. But like any interactions with angels in the Christmas stories, the first word given to him is what? Do not be afraid. Apparently, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had been praying for a child, and their prayers are going to be answered. They will give birth to a son, and they are to name him John. And the angel says, "He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. And this child will be filled with the Spirit of God and be kept free from wine and fermented drink because he could take a Nazarite vow to serve God all of his life. And these vows kept him from drinking alcohol, cutting his hair, or coming into contact with dead bodies." Sounds like a pretty good plan to me. How about you? Clearly, this boy was special, and God had plans to use him to bring joy to his family and to the entire world by the way that he would live. Because of his life, there would be many who would be brought back to the Lord. Because of his life, he would prepare people for something wonderful that was about to happen. And you can see the connections between the Isaiah passage that we just read and this story of Luke in verse 17, because it says the baby boy will prepare the people for the arrival of the Lord. John will be a joy to his family and joy to the world, because he will be the one calling in the wilderness and making a way for the arrival of the Son of God. One of the greatest joys of the Christmas season is the opportunity we are giving to prepare the way for others to see Jesus, who he really is. The most joyful people during this time of year are the ones who have experienced the hope and peace of God in their lives because of their trust in Jesus Christ. The way they speak to others, the way they serve others, the way they treat others are all a means of preparing a way for others to meet Jesus. And this joy is a commodity. It's a very rare commodity in our world today. There are people all around us who are miserable, right? They're all in over their heads with their involvement in sin. They're heartbroken over the pain in their life. They're hopeless in the face of suffering. And now is the time for us to share the joy of Jesus with the world. Author Leo Buscaglia tells this story about his mother and their, quote, misery dinner. It was the night after his father came home and said that it looked as if he would have to go into bankruptcy because his partner had absconded with their firm's funds. But his mother went out and sold some jewelry to buy food for a sumptuous feast. Other members of the family scolded her for it, but she told them that the time for joy is now, when we need it most, not next week. Her courageous act rallied the family, and her sacrifice instilled a newfound joy in the downtrodden. By the mother giving up what she had valued, her family ate together and found strength from one another to never give up. What is one way that you can sacrificially give and bring joy to those around you? How can your life be a beacon of hope because of your love in Jesus Christ? And this was John's call for his life. This is what the angel was telling Zechariah and Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, verses 18 and 20, the Bible says this. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Zechariah is skeptical of the good news of the angel. He and his wife Elizabeth are old. The prospect of having a child was slim. Because of his unbelief and distrust, he is silenced and unable to speak until the time comes for John to be born. And even though the good news of God, who comes to us in the flesh to rescue us, may seem too good to be true, our response should be marked by deep faith and joy. When we trust God, we can share it with others. Fast forwarding to the birth of this little boy, this promised boy, all the family had gathered together to share in this miraculous birth. A point of note, Elizabeth is actually the cousin of a woman named Mary. See how this all ties together? That Mary happens to be a woman who is also pregnant and will soon give birth to a boy, and that boy will be named Jesus. Jesus and John are cousins. And from the time they were in their mother's wombs, they were connected by the Spirit of God. And so the time has come for John to be born in the world in Luke 1, verses 57 through 66. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, there is no one among your relatives who has that name. And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. And he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, his name is John. Immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And all the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. I bet they were. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, what then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him. A promise fulfilled. When the baby is born, familiar discussion takes place. What to name the baby? And of course, it was customary at that time to wait till the eighth day. Now, you have to name the baby almost immediately, I think. Most of the time, right? Or usually you have the name picked before you even go in the hospital. Most of the young couples, anyway, seem to have that as a requirement. But everyone expected them to name him after his father, Zechariah. That was the trend back then. Zechariah Jr., Zechariah II, Zechariah III, right? Just keep on going. Everyone expected them to name him Zechariah. But they both agreed to name him John, just as the angel foretold. Zechariah couldn't even speak it. He had to write it out on a blackboard before he could even get that release, right? Now, John's name in Greek means grace by God, or Jehovah has been gracious. Those are the two translations of the original Greek. This name that had been given to the boy speaks volumes to the joy that surrounds his life. God has been gracious to Elizabeth and Zechariah by giving them a son. God has also been gracious because through John's life, the world will be prepared for the coming Messiah and Savior, Jesus Christ. They all celebrated John's birth. The relatives all came in. They shared in Elizabeth's day and her joy. John's life is surrounded by joy, and that joy is the Lord's work among them. Zechariah is still unable to speak, but he writes the name John in agreement with his wife. And upon his obedient pronouncement of the boy's name, he's once again able to speak. And his first response is rejoicing and praising God. When the word spread about John's amazing birth and Zechariah's recovered speech, everyone over the countryside was in awe and wondered what amazing things John would do with his life. The grace that covered John's birth and life is the same grace that is given to us free of charge when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We can never earn God's grace. It is a gift that is given to us through Jesus' life, His death, and His resurrection. And we should be people marked by joy because that grace that God has given to us. When we live our lives from this place, word spreads quickly, and people are in awe of the miraculous birth of Christ at Christmas. Are you someone who displays joy? Are you someone who knows the joys that come at Christmas, Jesus Christ? What is one way that you can think of this week to display the good news of this season by the way that you live your life? Let us pray. God, today we take time to remember the joy that comes through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We cannot find fulfillment in any other person or anything. And this Christmas, may we rejoice in the good news of a God who came near to us in the form of a baby and who died for us to give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Our invitation hymn this morning is Angels We Have Heard on High. During this hymn, if there are any of you who haven't accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, today would be the great day to do that. Don't leave this place. We don't know how many moments we have left. As the loss of the saints that we've lost over the last couple of weeks reminds us, we don't know when that moment is going to be. And so I pray that you don't pass this opportunity to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have already accepted Him, maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you've fallen into the trap of finding all the misery around you in your life. Maybe you've just lost sight of that joy that Jesus represents at Christmas time. Maybe you've forgotten about the preparations that were put in place by John and by Zachariah and Elizabeth and by Joseph and Mary. How about the people in your own life that paved the way so that you could have an opportunity for resurrection, that you might be able to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? I praise God this Christmas season for my preparers, my grandparents, my mom, the folks in my life that taught me Sunday school and that did all those things to make me interested to know what it was about them that made them so happy, that made them have something that I wanted in my life. And I pray today as we sing this song that you will reflect on what it is that you need to do in your life to live that joy out so that people would see the hope and the peace and the love that Jesus Christ has to offer to everyone. As we stand and sing our invitation.